Welcome back to another episode of the Breathe and Air podcast, where everyday action meets extraordinary mindset. I'm your host, Mason Bendigo, and thank you all for tuning in on another beautiful Wednesday. Today, we have podcast host of the 2 a.m. podcast and based lifestyle health coach, soccer player, writer, Zaid Dahaj. Today, we get into a lot of topics, including hardening our minds, how health has been transformed in today's day and age, and how to take a holistic approach to it and see through a lot of the BS that's fed to us. We talk about the rise of technology, flow state outside of sports, so much good information in this one. If you want to hear more from Zaid, you can find him on Twitter, and Instagram at ZaidKDahaj. You can also find him on Twitter at 2AMPod. And you can find them at the 2 a.m. podcast on Instagram. As always, if you haven't followed us already on Instagram, go over and check us out at Breathe and Air Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Breathe and Air Pod. I'm a strong believer in the fact that you are the summation of the five closest friends that you hang out with. But at the same time, we spend so much time on phones these days, on social media, consuming content, that if you're not consuming the right content, if you're not building and curating your following to people that build you up, to people that bring you value, and not just mindless, numb scrolling that gives you nothing in your day other than taking your precious time, then you should reevaluate that and check it out. That's why I plug these, because I try to make sure that everything I'm posting gives you value, that it helps improve your day, that it helps improve your fitness, that it helps improve an aspect of body, mind, and spirit. So go check us out. Let us know what you think of the show. Let Zaid know what you think of the show. Give him a follow. And thank y'all so much for being here today. This is a hell of an episode, and I think you're going to get a lot from it.
Appreciate you having me on, my man. Looking forward to this.
So tell me a little bit about your show. How did it get started? What can people expect?
Yeah, so the 2 a.m. podcast, you know, I think it was a very interesting coincidence over time, because ever since I hit around probably 19 or 20 years old, I've wanted to do a podcast. I was always very interested in just listening to podcasts in my spare time. I had a few buddies who I was very close with. We had discussions going back and forth, and we just decided to start it up. We had a meeting in a restaurant close by, but yeah, we just started to start it up. And, you know, of course, the rest is history. We're on, I think, episode 125 now.
Yeah, very impressive. Anytime you get over that 100 episode mark, you have some serious commitment. I was listening to Tim Ferriss a while back, and it was all about podcasting and how he kind of differs in his approach, but how, hey, when you start these things, you know, make sure that you would do it for over 100 episodes with no return, and know that you're going to put so much into it, and you know, you need to be able to come from it from a specific place. Was there like a time where you were like, oh, this is why I want to do this, this is my mission?
I mean, there wasn't one specific moment where it just struck me. It was more so like a slow process of beginning to understand that I have a few things that I'm good at. I like to talk about a wide range of subjects. And I just enjoy conversations, like deep intellectual conversations in general. So that was the one thing that clicked for me. But it's funny that you brought up the whole like length in terms of like doing it or being consistent about it.
Yeah.
Because I've seen plenty of people around me who have started podcasts, and they get to like episode 5 and they stop.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big theme for me, is that the consistency matters most. regardless of like how I feel in the moment, I just keep doing it over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think that's a good sentiment for life in general and creating good habits. And it seems like that's something that you really push. Tell me about Based Lifestyle Health Coach. What does that mean? What do you do in that? I love that, by the way. It's a little bit on our side of the internet.
Yeah. So I've had my Twitter account for about 3 years now. I wrote eBooks in the past. I've had a little bit of success with that, but I was looking to transition my personal brand into more of a focus on health in general, because I see a lot of people who are sick around me. It's one of my passionate topics that I really focus down on in life. So the Based Lifestyle Health Coaching is basically like running people through sleep, nutrition, movement, all of the things that I classify as fundamentals to living a healthy lifestyle. And through that, of course, I get my clients' results. I make sure to have more of a like one-on-one type of mentorship with them. And yeah, I really think it's fulfilling work, because at the end of the day, I help people improve their health. And that really translates into every other aspect of their life.
So as an ex-athlete, were these some, you know, practices, mentalities, habits that you were creating earlier, or did it kind of shift even more as you were done playing?
Definitely there were a lot of things that I already focused on, because to play competitive soccer, of course, you have to be in good physical condition, and yeah, all of those things go into that. But like I said, health has always been a passion for me ever since the age of 18. And I'm really, because I have an obsessive personality with it, it's just, I focus down on so much of the details within that realm that it just makes sense for me.
Yeah. Where did you play soccer at?
So of course I'm based in Southern California. I've played here most of my life, but I've also traveled for it. So I've been to Ireland, England, and most recently, about 5 or 6 months ago, Costa Rica. So awesome. I've been around and played in different environments, and it's taught me a lot.
So I played football, and that's almost like a totally different skill set as far as because I think about it, I made a transition to basketball there for a little bit and lost like 15 pounds in like 3 months. I thought I was in shape here. I was just like running up and down the court, like dying. And I know soccer, obviously you got to have peak physical condition for that too. So what are some characteristics though, for top of the line, some of the best soccer players in the world? Like what kind of skills do they have?
Well, I mean, you can like, of course they have the tangible skills, the skills that they show to thousands of people, millions of people on the field.
Yeah.
But I think the more interesting aspect of it, of an athletic type of mentality, is the mindset behind it. They have the discipline, they have the consistency, as we spoke about earlier. And more so, I think they have a healthier relationship with pain. Mm. This is something that I see a lot of people struggle with, and that's whenever it gets hard, they usually step away from it and don't try to like consciously go into it even deeper than they usually do. So I think, there are a lot of things that go into it, but that relationship on pain, I think, is very important for people to understand.
Yeah. I was thinking about that earlier today. It's almost like I feel more comfortable when I am feeling pain in a weird way, because I know that I'm progressing in one way or another. It's mm-hmm. like the simple analogy of breaking muscle down comes back stronger, breaking yourself down mentally, come back stronger. You're failing, you're learning lessons. You're not going to do it again. Those kind of things, it's weird because I feel myself wanting it more. It's like, I don't know if that's masochistic or what, but,
but ultimately that's the place you want to be. Like regardless of what other people are going to label it, masochistic, you get off on your own pain, whatever they say, like at the end of the day, you have to teach yourself how to be comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And in all realms of life, that ends up paying huge dividends down the road, because you get things that other people don't get because you were willing to go through that.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said about that, hardening our minds or hardening our bodies. What are some of the most practical tips that you've used and that you've seen help people change their mentality to that?
Mm. I would say, so this is actually, this goes off of a tweet I posted earlier today. I think it's every man's duty to automatically default to training their body if they're going through something difficult in their life. So, you know, if they're dealing with some sort of trauma, a family member dies, maybe they went bankrupt, so forth. I think the default should be to train your body according to your capacity. So you don't have to go balls to the wall. You don't have to kill yourself while training, but you can take small steps, whether it's like going for a run, 15-minute run, lifting a kettlebell, doing some pull-ups every now and then. I think the small things add up. And that really does do wonders for your mentality over a long enough time frame.
Yeah. It's about just starting at one point or another. I have a bad, you know, habit of doing that too. It's like, great idea, write it down, think about it. Then I look back and I'm like looking through old notes or something. Shit, I did this. I wrote this down like 3 weeks ago and I haven't even touched it yet. You know, life happens and then you get going. But yeah, that accountability of just do one step, like get out the door and then see what happens once you start doing that and seeing the fruits of your labor.
Yeah. And I can resonate with that because previously when I was younger, I used to always do that. I used to always start something, pick up some steam on it, but then for some reason it would fall by the wayside. I couldn't figure out why, but it was a consistent pattern over the course of my life. And I think the most important thing for people to understand is that you are going to fail plenty of times, whether it comes down to your diet, your training regimen, your relationships, you'll mess up countless times. The most important thing is that you get back up and you get back on the train so that you carry on that momentum forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw you speak about mastering your 20s, and I think, you know, there's a wide range of people who listen to this podcast. I'm always surprised when certain people reach out, but I think a bulk following is in that, you know, 25 to 35 young adults, even younger sometimes. So what are some ways for us to master our 20s? What do you think are some of the biggest things that have helped you so far along your journey?
Number one, I would say your priority has to be health. You have to make sure that you take care of your health, whether it comes down to like sleep, nutrition. These are all things that you have to master. So you have to take a long time, like you have to look at them from a long time frame. So health would be number one. Without that, you have very little energy and you can't get much done, right? Number two, I would say your 20s is about exploration as well. So you have to view life from a perspective of like, it's a buffet. You don't go to a buffet and pick one or two things and then just sit down and eat, right?
Yeah.
You have to pick and choose and see what you do best with. So in regards to like career, for example, because I know a lot of young 20-year-olds are really worried about what they're going to do for the rest of their lives work-wise, I would say just try a bunch of different things. Start a few businesses, start a podcast, do whatever you can to figure out like, okay, this is my skill set. I'm good at this. I'm not good at this. And then eventually it'll start to click.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I liked talking about the innate blessings that we all have, one or another. Someone that's really good at sales would really benefit from someone that's really good at marketing. You know, it's one of those like give and takes. You know, there's things that you're blessed with just naturally. And being able to build on those things and then also take little pieces and parts here as well. But what is there to say about building a team? I mean, you have a partner on the podcast. There's connections that we're building, right? You and I are building a connection right now. What is it to say about the people that you surround yourself with and how you reach out in your network?
Yeah. So, you know, as we mentioned before, this is also one of the most important things to understand in your 20s is the quality of the people around you. So you begin to pick up on their mentalities, you pick up on their actions. And at the end of the day, I think it comes down to being relatable, right? You have to be likable. You have to be somebody who other people want to get to know and want to develop a relationship with. And of course, that only comes down to your own personal development. If you haven't gotten to the point where you're at that level, then you're just not going to attract people who, you know, want to be around you, right?
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. I think as I started to curate my surroundings to what I wanted to be, and as I started to basically kick out, you know, addition by subtraction, kicking out the stuff that I didn't want, whether it was be what I was consuming on social media, whether it was my habits, whether it was the people around me, I was starting to be aware of how those things served me and my life and my goals. And once I started filing through those things and replacing and adding, I mean, it made the biggest difference.
Yeah. And also I would like to bring up this point of, because I get this question more often than not, it's like, how do I deal with somebody who's in my life who I don't particularly, you know, vibe with, or they don't really bring me to the next level that I want to get to? And I think that just comes down to, I mean, you can maintain contact, but either you cut off the relationship or you just keep them at a distance.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely one thing that people need to think about more often.
Yeah. And I mean, that's hard because there is people in your life that you may know deep down they aren't the best for you, but you still care about them. You still love them. But you know, it's part of life. You know, some people change and some people have certain goals and aspirations and some people don't, and some people fall into things that they shouldn't. So at the end of the day, you know, I think it is okay to be selfish in that manner, you know, mm-hmm. And you can have those conversations all you want, but at the end of the day, people are going to do what people are going to do.
Yeah.
And so you have to make your own decisions. And I mean, it's your life. No one else can make those decisions for you.
Amen. Yep.
Yep. So one of the biggest habits, and this is something that I have really seen help upgrade my life, is mornings. And I heard you speaking of optimizing mornings, kind of your morning routine. What does your morning routine look like right now?
So it's nothing too crazy. I used to speak about morning routines in terms of like, it has to be regimented, do this, do that, do that. But I take more of an effortless approach to it now. I just do things that feel good to me. So I'll wake up in the morning, I'll immediately head out into the sun. You know, of course there are plenty of circadian rhythm benefits to that, a lot of health benefits as well.
Yeah.
And after I'm done with that, I'll do some writing. I'll make sure to move my body a little bit, whether it, you know, be a short training session or a brisk walk.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's the stable part of it. And yeah. Then I just go into my day and see what comes of it.
Yeah. I think it's important to have that little segment, you know, where, like you said, you get up, you're looking in the sun, you're moving a little bit and you're writing, and that even something as small as that, you make breakfast, you know, you're drinking 30, you're chugging some water in the morning. Yeah. Like you're not instantly just picking up your phone or not instantly like going straight into fight or flight. You know, you're not just activating that sympathetic nervous system right off the jump, because we live in that fight or flight zone so much.
Yeah.
And I think it sets the tone for your day when you're able to kind of ease into that and be able to, you know, be present for a little bit, because dude, there's so many times where I look back at the day, I'm like, damn, that flew by. Like right now, I'm like, where'd the day go? I don't have enough hours in the day. And yeah. I think that little moment of peace in the morning is very, very vital to success to me. It really helps kind of focus me.
Mm-hmm. It grounds you. And
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I pick up my phone plenty of times.
Yeah, me too.
That I want to.
Same.
So I think that's just, you know, the 21st century struggle we all have to try to navigate. But at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you're in control of it as opposed to being enslaved by it.
Yeah. That's my big thing too. It's like, I heard someone talk about this, and I'm just as bad at it. I mean, yeah. First thing, like that's my alarm and I'm looking at it. Right. But are you going to dictate your day and your morning, or are you going to let other people? Because regardless of how greatly I've curated my socials or my emails or whatever that is, mm-hmm. as soon as I'm looking at that, I'm consuming someone else's thoughts. I'm then becoming technically, I'm becoming vulnerable to their thoughts, and that's going to make me feel some type of way. And
yeah.
Most of the time, hopefully it's good. Sometimes it's probably not. So it's like, I'm just throwing up, I'm rolling the dice as to what I'm going to see in the morning instead of taking control of my day almost per se. And that's kind of how I looked at it, and it made a big difference.
Yeah. And I think the trickiest thing about it is that it's a double-edged sword. So I've begun to think about a lot of things where they act like a double-edged sword. They have a benefit, but they also can very easily become a liability. And the picking up the phone thing, you know, on one hand, you don't want to be consumed with other people's thoughts. But on the other, it's like there might be that one thought that changes your entire life. Yeah. You just don't know. So, you know, it's something to ponder. That's for sure.
I agree. It's a tough balancing act when it comes to the technological age that we live in and being able to separate ourselves from it, but also being able to utilize it for the incredible tool that it is. You know, yeah. I mean, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Our podcast wouldn't have reached so many people. I mean, it's what you can do online with business and what's happening in crypto and like all this stuff is coming from this technological advance. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're dopamine machines, man. You gotta be able to separate yourself. I'm just as bad as the next man. I can promise you that.
Yeah, we got to do our best, but at the end of the day, I think it's heading towards a better direction than not.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. There's speaking of dopamine and health, you talk about listening to your body, right? And that I really am a big proponent of the mind-body connection. Yeah. In the foods that we eat, in the things that we do, in the habits that we have, what have been some of the biggest things when it comes to food, exercise, mentality in general, where we really need to listen to our bodies?
Mm-hmm. I think it fundamentally starts with nutrition, because what you put into your body is very important. There's obviously a debate. I think it's just as important, if not more important than sleep. But to be able to make that connection between a meal that you have and how you feel as a result of that meal is very crucial. I think that's like the foundation of it. That's where people can begin. But, you know, over time, you'll begin to see how certain foods influence your physiology. For example, if you eat a cupcake in the morning, you'll notice that you get a big spike in blood sugar and then you come crashing down. And what comes with that are like headaches, lethargy, all sorts of stuff that you don't want. But on the other hand, if you eat something that's good for you, let's say steak and eggs, it's the best example, you'll have a more even keel type of energy and you won't experience negative symptoms. You'll just be in a good physiological state for the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an association with pleasure and food. And while there is definitely a time and place for that, the more that you can remove yourself from that and associate it as energy and fuel, then your attachments to it become a little less emotional and more for what it's meant to do, right? To fuel us through our day, to help us think clearer, perform better, whether it's in the gym, in the bed, at work, you know, all these things play a part. And if you think they don't, we can look at the science that goes way back, but
yeah,
it is. And it's super important. I agree. I think sleep, you mentioned sleep. Sleep it's something that I've gotten really like meticulous with, like my before bed stuff. We talked about the phone and even just like drinking tea with glycine and trying to shut off lights and those kind of things as well. And journaling and reading, I feel like helped me relax, meditation, but what are some like big sleep biohacks or some sleep tips that you've given to some of your clients?
Yeah. So sleep tips, I mean, it all comes down to a handful of things that I think everybody has access to, because ultimately these things are free. Number one would be timing is crucial. You have to make sure that you're in bed by what I call the sweet spot. So in between 9:45 PM to 10:30 PM. If you can nail that down, you'll avoid most sleep problems, most energy problems. Number two, I would say, is to have your last meal by 7:30 PM. So obviously when you consume a meal, your body is in the process of digesting that meal. But when you eat too close to bedtime, that interferes with the process of recovery. And I think that not a lot of people understand that, because I've done it plenty of times. I've seen other people do it. You know, you have this like huge meal of whatever it may be, right before bed, and you just can't go to sleep.
Yeah.
Or even if you can, you're not getting good quality sleep. So avoid food or last meal by 7:30 PM. get to bed by, you know, the sweet spot 9:30 to 10:30. And then lastly, I would say be very aware of your stimulant use. So I'm a big user of nicotine in the form of Zyn pouches. Have you ever heard them?
Yeah.
So I use that. Granted, I am addicted to them, but I make sure to watch out for that. Coffee, I know, is a big thing that people use. I avoid that past noon. But yeah, I think those would be three of the most major keys to understand.
That's huge. Yeah. And I mean, you said getting out in the sun, getting sun on your eyes first thing in the morning, starts that clock too, that rhythm clock, super important. For someone who's played sports, I think you have felt or experienced flow state more than the average human. And explain to me kind of what that feels like, because I always just love hearing what people say of flow states. It's one of the most amazing things to me. But also outside of sports, how have you found ways to tap into that in your work life, in your daily life?
Man, the flow state. It's difficult to describe because it's not something you can really put into words other than, listen, you have to experience this.
Yeah.
And I feel like most people get those flow state experiences, but it's one thing to like have a little bit of taste with it, and it's another thing to fully dive into the experience. But I'll try. Imagine a state where time doesn't exist, where the identity that you've created over the course of your life, aka your ego, completely flies out the window. And you just seem to do things naturally, effortlessly, with absolutely no thought whatsoever. Now, that might sound very abstract to people, but I can assure you it's one of the most addictive feelings on the planet.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I've read many books on the flow state, but ultimately everybody has to experience it. And the main form of flow state that I find is through soccer. So whenever I can get my hands on it, I go and do it. But per your other question, I also find it in writing. I find it when I travel, when I'm out in nature. Those are three of my main activities that really bring it to me. And it, you know, I try to go balls deep into it.
Yeah. No, I think, and what you said earlier about in your 20s, you know, it's a buffet. Find those things, you know, try hiking, try biking, try swimming. Try lifting weights, like whatever your kind of thing that gets you there, then dive into it. I mean, it's good to have all these goals, aspirations, things that drive you, but it's also good to enjoy this life that we have, man. There's a lot of beauty in it. And oftentimes when you can find that thing that puts you in flow state and pair it with something that you're passionate about and that you love is when you know you're like, whoa, this is amazing. I never work a day in my life.
Absolutely. And fun little like physiological fact for people is that physiologically, while you're in a flow state, you have, I believe, five chemicals simultaneously going through your brain at once. So you have serotonin, dopamine, you have anandamide, you have, I forgot the other two, but basically it is the most addictive drug on the planet. And that's what most people are seeking through, whether it be sex, music, sports, the list goes on.
Yep. It's why I think you hear, you know, a lot of the professional athletes that get done with their careers and then stuff starts falling apart for them. They get lost in one way or another. It's a hard feeling to duplicate, but it is possible to do it outside of said sport or thing that you have found. I think it's so powerful. Like you said, five at once, that's tough to beat.
Nothing else compares to it, man.
Yeah. On the other side of that, where you're so hyper-focused, I mean, I guess the shedding of the ego could be parallel here, but have you messed around in the meditation realm and what's been your experience there if you have?
Yeah. You know, I began a meditation practice when I was 18. I've stopped doing it now completely just because I feel like I got the most benefits out of my experience with it.
Yeah.
But I was at that for maybe 3 or 4 years, 20 minutes a day, religiously every morning. And, you know, of course, if you're interested in philosophy, you do your research and you begin to see the power of meditation. You hear a lot of people talking about it. So naturally you want to experiment with it. But I mean, the impact that's had on my life is priceless, because it's brought me into the moment. It's allowed me to see that a lot of my emotions and thoughts are actually bullshit. I don't need to be listening to them. And, you know, I think it comes down to just being able to relate to the present moment in a much healthier way.
Yeah, I can agree with you there. And at first, when I started this, I was, you know, religiously doing it over and over. And then it kind of, for lack of a better term, lost a little bit of the flair to me. And I had to take a step back and say, okay, how is the best way for me to approach this? And I think it's different for everybody in that sense. But like you said, it's not something you do as religiously now. For me, I like to do it before I go to bed. It helps me kind of calm down. But there's also times where even taking 5 minutes in the middle of the day when I'm starting to feel like some type of emotion that's not good, and kind of just twist it with a little bit of breath work. I think breath work has even been more on the forefront than meditation for me lately, because of how quickly you can feel your physical body relax whenever you kind of get hyper, in that fight or flight, whether it's angry or stressed, anxious, you know, you can always feel it in your body first, like we said. Yeah. And I think breath is one of those easy biohacks that everyone has access to.
This is a question I'm curious of your opinion on. I've done a little bit of like Wim Hof experimentation and all that. Are there different modalities you've experimented with? And like, just curious to see your perspective on breath work as a whole.
Yeah. Wim Hof is one of my favorites. I think everybody should definitely at least try it. I've mixed it with the cold therapy as well. But for anyone that doesn't know, Wim Hof is almost like a circular breathing through your nose and mouth, but it's not a hyperventilating, but it is circular with breath holds and pauses at the end. Basically, it's flooding your system with oxygen. You kind of feel tingly when you go through the rounds. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. It's a cool feeling. But the ones that I like are just simple nasal breathing. So something that everyone can do, even if you're like in a specific state where your heart rate is up, you're about to have a big presentation, you can feel your heart beating out of your chest, or you're about to have a conversation you don't want to have, right? Is just straight nasal breathing all the way in. And then at the end, get that last bit that you can. So you're filling your lungs as much as possible. And then just kind of breathe out. And when you breathe out, just feel your body just like relax, let all the stress go out. Do that 5 times. Pretty sure I was listening to Andrew Huberman talk about this. And that's one of the quickest ways to reset your system and slow your heart rate down. That one I use all the time because I'm a mouth breather sometimes. And I'm like, stop doing that. Smack. But another one is box breathing. Yeah, box breathing. So it's four seconds in, hold for 4 seconds, out 4 seconds, hold 4 seconds, and then or five. And it's just that cycle.
That's the one that the Navy SEALs use, right?
Yeah.
And I know there are like plenty of variations. I've heard of alternate nostril breathing.
Yeah, I've heard that one too. Yeah.
What is it? The like dragon fire breath or something like that?
Yeah. I think I saw Giselle, Tom Brady's wife.
Oh, really?
I saw her like doing some stuff. I'm like, okay, so she's got Tom on this shit. Now we know. Yeah. TB12, man. That dude's something else.
Yeah, I got to jump into it. You know, more deeply and see what it's all about. But I've only like done a little bit of experimentation here and there, nothing too crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a tool, like you said, the sun, the earth, good company, good food, breathing, sleep. I mean, those are some fundamental core things that we all have biologically that I think if you're not utilizing them, you're really missing out on our biology, really.
The simple things, and most of them are free. So you really have no excuse other than, I mean, sheer ignorance. So you got to go out there, learn as much as you can, and then just put it to work.
Yeah. So speaking of that, I mean, we laid down some serious basics there. How has modern lifestyle, do you think, really changed culture, changed the way we think, communicate, act, and how can we really balance that with some of those, if we want to call it ancestral things that are, you know, innate to our DNA?
Okay, so big topic here. Now, I'm going to focus down on one negative thing that I've seen, And that's, you know, just because of the advent of technology, you're able to create anonymous accounts, say whatever you want to say over the internet. I think a lot of people are at each other's throats for no other reason than because they disagree with each other.
Yeah.
Over like basic things, right? So I think it's more, people have to find some compassion and empathy in their heart. I mean, you know, I need to tell myself this most of all, because I can be a bit of a dickhead. And I really think it's about, at the end of the day, it's also about learning as much as you can and just being curious, because there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of BS information out there. So you have to learn how to sift through all of that and, you know, just focus down on the things that actually work.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are a lot of things, distractions, societal propaganda, all sorts of things that you have to battle with.
Yeah. I think a big piece of that is awareness and being able to sift through that BS. It's so hard, but also doing your own research. You know, I feel like we're spoon-fed a lot of information these days. And there are always, maybe not always, but a lot of times there is ulterior motives. And so how are you going to see through that and make sure that you're not, you know, being a victim to those things? Because it's easy to, you know, but the 90% of our daily programming is subconscious. 90%. We get up on the same side of the bed, brush our teeth, look at social media, eat that breakfast, call that person. I mean, maybe work out, maybe not, whether it's good or positive or negative loops, 90% of what we do is subconscious. So you got to be careful with that, because you can get caught in that loop and then you turn around and, like you said, the empathy's gone. We're all fighting amongst each other. And maybe some of those things that have been formed you aren't really actually who you are or what you think.
Yeah. So. And you mentioned the operative word here is that awareness. It's absolutely crucial, because, I mean, if you're not careful, you can go through your entire life and not be aware of anything that you've done, which is, to me, is the greatest tragedy of all time. Like, you've been given this gift of life and you haven't stopped to, you know, smell the roses, so to speak. So, yeah.
And that makes, you know, that to me resonates and makes me think, man, this life is a little bit more simple than we sometimes make it. You know, especially if you're a high performer, you're this deep in, you have a hunger for growth. You want to be better. And so, I mean, I'm sure, you know, Zayd and me have similar stances on this, but our minds are constantly going. We're always trying to make moves. We're always thinking about the next thing. And like you said, stop smelling the roses, look up at the sky, like simple things like that. It's just, that's what life is about.
You don't want to sleepwalk through life, man. You don't want it.
And I think that's, you know, you often hear the question, what's your biggest fear? That has to be up there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like the idea that I had so much potential and that I just threw it away because I never stopped myself for a moment and, you know, just evaluated like, what direction am I headed in? Am I doing the right thing? So forth. Yeah.
Yeah. Where can everybody find the show?
Yeah. So the 2AM podcast is available on all platforms, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Where else? You can find us on Instagram at the 2AM podcast. And we also have a website. www.the2ampodcast.com.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love it. You guys got some great stuff. Was listening to some earlier. So y'all definitely go check out the 2AM podcast. Where else can we find you on socials? You got any good things coming up? What we got? Give it to me.
Yeah. So just focusing heavy on the coaching, trying to gain more clients, gain more testimonials. But you can find me at Instagram and Twitter at the same handle at ZAIDKDAHHAJ.
Beautiful. One last question for you. What is your definition of success?
Definition of success. I would say if I can, you know, if I'm on my deathbed and I can look back on my life and be proud of what I've done and proud of the mentality I've had and, you know, fostering the relationships around me, I think that would be my definition of success. Or in other words, if I'm making progress, that's success to me.
Amen. I love it. Zayd, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Appreciate you, my man. Thank you for having me.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning into another episode. Go check out the 2AM podcast, Zayd's coaching, everything that he's doing. It's It's gonna blow up. I'm saying it here first. So pay attention. That's right. And remember, the cost of today is not monetary. All it is sharing this with someone who you think can benefit. And then go check out the 2 a.m. podcast. Leave us a review. Reach out to us. Let us know what you think. I'm sure you would love to hear it just as much as I would, Zade.
Absolutely. I'll be hyper focused when this episode comes out.
Beautiful. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Breathing Air podcast, and have a great rest of your week.
Awesome. See you guys.